I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning, ready for worship hour. I appreciate very much everybody who worked together to make the morning Bible hour go so well. So grateful for Sandra Jo and for Hannah and John and Ashley as she helps with the singing, and all of us working together as a team to make both Bible hour and worship hour connect and flow and go well for you. I certainly hope at your house and in your family that you are doing well. I'm not aware of anybody in our church having the COVID-19. We certainly do have some folks that have some real physical issues, some health issues. I'm going to mention that later on for us to pray for them. But I'm hopeful and encouraged by the things I hear that maybe it won't be too awful much longer before things start letting up. We're hearing little bits of that on the news. So be in prayer with me. We're looking forward to when we can again gather together as a church family. Really hoping that is pretty soon. Sooner than later is my philosophy. But let's start this worship hour with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and Lord, we do thank you that in our church family and our individual families, I'm not aware of anybody having the COVID-19. And I certainly thank you for protecting our senior citizens, the most vulnerable, those who have compromised immune systems in our church and our families. I thank you that they have thus far, to the best of my knowledge, nobody has gone ahead and gotten this COVID-19. I pray that you would continue to protect them, watch over them, that our church family and our immediate families might be well. I ask that you be with us, Lord, as we go into this worship hour. We pray that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts as they listen to the preaching, as folks sing along with John and Ashley as they lead us in music. Help us, Lord, in every way to honor you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. John and Ashley, going to turn it over to you.
Well, good morning. We're glad you've joined us for our online worship service. Let's lift up our voices this morning as we sing, "Come, People of the Risen King."
That is such a great hymn. So enjoy that song. Certainly a blessing. We have just very few announcements. Of course, we want to remind you that we do have the food shelf and would love to have you go ahead and participate in that. Just call the church, put together a bag for you, meet you out in the parking lot, bring you what you need. And then also want to remind you that we are encouraging folks, if you have a favorite hymn you'd like us to play, or a praise song, worship song, then we will include that in one of the services. In fact, we're getting ready to do that as we come down into the next group of songs. One of them is How Great Thou Art, requested by Diane Brown. So we'd love to have you call in and request a song as well. Not only does it make you be a part of the service, but it helps us to know that you are watching the service, that you're participating. We want to make sure we remain connected as a church family. So if there's any way we can minister to you, please let us know. Our prayers are with you every day. I spend time praying for you and your family, our church family, and of course our nation, and praying for God to reach down and bring some revelation, some understanding that our scientists, our chemists, they might come up with the right concoction to fight back this COVID-19 and open back up everything. We are definitely missing having you here for worship and midweek services and our Bible study. We were just talking that it's going to seem a little strange to have a whole auditorium full of people, but I'm looking forward to that happening again. So pray for that to come soon. Okay, we are going to turn it right back over to John and Ashley. They're going to lead us in Stand Up, Stand Up, How Great Is Our God, and How Great Thou Art. And again, we want you to participate at home. I know I've had some folks mention that they do. They sing together along with the congregation here. So lift up your voices.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, John and Ashley. That was a blessing. We appreciate so much them ministering to us in song. Certainly miss the congregational singing. Right now, the whole congregation is me. I'm sitting out there by myself and the only one singing along. We miss you. So our primary contact with you is either through the phone or some folks text us, email us, that kind of thing. I have made a few visits where I've stood out in the yard and talked to people up on their porch, mainly usually because of health things. Certainly reminds me that we need to be in prayer for Barb Fairbrother. She has a very severe infection in her knee. Please be in prayer for her. Also, Johnny Gay, as you remember, just before we went into this COVID-19 thing, he had severely broken his leg skiing, and he's still trying to heal up from that and a lot of pain. So if you would pray for Johnny. Also, Diane Lepore, as you know, just as we came into the COVID-19 situation, she was diagnosed with cancer. So pray for Diane as she's going through chemo right now. And then Susie Rivett, as you know, we've been praying for her for a long time about her infection in her foot. About 5 or 6 years ago, she broke her ankle severely. She's had 8 or 9 surgeries trying to get that thing repaired and the infection cleared up. She's still battling that, but it's beginning to close. And she is so needing our prayers because she has a really severe hip that she needs replaced. So pray for all of those folks, if you would. That's just important for us as a church to do. And then, of course, we do have other contact. On Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we did a wedding, just the bride, the groom, me, and then John played the piano. That was pretty quick. And then also on Friday, I met with Howie and Brianna. They're getting married in July, so I needed to sit. We did the social distancing thing, and we worked out some of the details of their wedding. So we have a little bit of contact with the outside, but it's pretty limited. So we are praying for you and doing all we can to minister to you. But don't hesitate to reach out. And again, I remind you about the food shelf. We want to help folks out with that. Now, one of the ways we are maintaining contact is the folks in our church who minister through music. They might pop in the week and John meets them up here in the auditorium. They maintain a distance and they practice and record a song. So this morning we have Kathy Boyce, who's going to minister to us in a special song. So I'm going to turn it right over to John and Kathy at this time.
Amen.
thank you very much, Kathy and John, for that song. That was a blessing. And now we're going to go into our message. So if you would take your Bibles with me and turn to Matthew chapter 11, my message this morning is on rest. Rest in the Lord. You and I finding in Him that perfect place of rest. Watching the news this week, they showed a number of places across our country where people are beginning to come out into the streets and protest because they feel like their governors have just locked their states down so tight, people becoming restless, they're pushing back, they're without peace, they're without rest, they're wanting some kind of response from their state governors. And maybe you at your home right now, maybe you're feeling that same kind of stir crazy, you know, this has been long enough, you are not at rest, you are ready to break out the doors and to get after it. Or maybe even deeper than that, maybe in your soul and in your heart and in your life, this morning you're not at rest with the Lord. Maybe you're struggling internally, spiritually, not at peace. What I want to do this morning, what my objective is in taking you to this text, and I'm also going to take you to another one, is I want you to see with me the rest that God does offer us. A deeper rest. Not the rest of, you know, sitting on the couch watching endless episodes of, you know, who knows what. But I'm talking about the rest that gives us a peace that passeth understanding. I want you to see three areas of rest that only God can give us. So if you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 11, I want you to look with me, if you would, at verses 28 down through 30. Here we find our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In these three verses are two of my main points. The first one is in verse 28, and that is that rest is a gift. Spiritual rest from God is a gift that he wants to give every single one of his children. Those who have come to him and by faith received him into their hearts and lives and develop a walk and a relationship with him. I want you to look with me again at verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We find the Lord Jesus Christ offering to you and I a gift, the gift of rest. Only he can give it. He says, all those who are laden, all those who are heavy burdened, he wants to give spiritual rest and peace too. You know, the culture and the day we live in, it's loaded with people who just cannot find rest. You know, in 1830, when they started keeping records of this, 1 out of 36 marriages would end in divorce. By 1970, it was 1 in 10. And now, for quite a long while, it's been 1 out of 2. You see, and that's because so many homes, so many relationships, so many families, they have no spiritual peace. They have no spiritual rest. For you and I, our home is our castle, isn't it? It's our place of tranquility and peace. It should be. But many, many homes are not that way. When you're at a place where 1 out of every 2 marriages fail, you realize there's so many people that are loaded with such stress and such disorder. You know, even in the culture we live in today, it's also reflected in the amount of suicides. And certainly during this time of COVID-19, this is a real concern. that people lose hope and they become full of despair. And they lack the peace and the rest that God can give. And they decide that there is no other alternative. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there's always hope. And our Lord reaches out to us and he says, if you are heavy laden, if you are burdened, he says, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you the gift of rest. I have a little short poem. It says, my Savior, thou hast offered rest. Oh, give it then to me. The rest of ceasing from myself, to find my all in thee. And see, that's the key to accepting this gift that Christ has offered us, this gift of rest. It's learning to lay aside self and allow him to guide, to lead, to comfort, to give us the rest that we need in him. That's why he's so direct about it. He says, come unto me. This is a rest that you can't find in another person. You can't find it on your job. You can't find it in money. You can't find it in athleticism. You can't find it anywhere. He says, come unto me. It's a deeper spiritual rest that he wants to give as a gift to his children. So I challenge you to go to his word. Spend time reading through the Psalms. Spend time reading through the epistles. Seek and find wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Look back through Genesis and the amazement of creation and all that God did. Find rest and peace in the mighty hand of God in your life. He wants to give you that as a gift. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to take you down to verses 29 and 30, because here is the second of my points. The first one was that God offers us the gift of rest. The second one is that he offers to us the tool of rest. And I want you to get that. The tool of rest. Tools are something that is important in our lives. You use different tools for so many different things that you have forgotten that they are even a tool. Maybe this morning, when you got everybody up to get ready for the Bible hour, you all came down the kitchen, and maybe you ate breakfast. And before you knew it, everybody picked up a tool. That tool might have been a spoon. Maybe it was a fork. Maybe it was a knife. But those are all tools. Our lives are full of using tools. Well, here, God offers to us the tool of rest. Listen to what we hear in verses 29 and verse 30. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, some of you, you're thinking to yourself, what does the yolk in my egg have to do with finding rest? Well, this is a different kind of yolk. It's not your breakfast yolk that maybe your wife or your mom or maybe your spouse made for you this morning for breakfast. This is an old-fashioned yolk. It's a tool. It's a yolk that they would put over on their shoulders, and they could carry two buckets of maybe water or grain. Maybe it carried sand or bricks. A yoke went upon their shoulders and they would carry it. It was so much easier to carry it by yoke than by hand. If you've ever done hard work where you've filled pails up with sand or cement mud, we call it mud. If you ever carried those heavy, heavy loads in your hands, you know it cuts, even with the little plastic handles on the bucket, cuts in your hand. It hurts after load after load. But if you bring that up onto your shoulders with a yoke that fits, all of a sudden, you find out it's so much easier. Well, here Christ is talking to us about a different kind of yoke, that yoke that we put on. He says, His yoke is easy. He wants to show us that the burdens of life, if we will take and transfer them to Him and use that tool, we will find rest. So look again with me at verses 29 and 30. I'm going to read that after I've explained to you. I'm going to read it to you again. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, it says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So here we tie that into him saying to us, put my yoke on, learn of me. Let this yoke be that which helps you to bear the burdens of life. You see, that Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ, comes to dwell within your heart and in your soul. And as he dwells in us, he brings to our remembrance the things we've learned of God, brings to our remembrance the principles, all those doctrines and truths that help us to live our lives not in conflict, but in rest. So right now, you're all locked down through COVID-19. This morning, I was thinking about Steve and Melissa Flint, two school teachers in our church, and then their three little girls. And I was thinking to myself, what a challenge it must be. Both of them are school teachers, so they're doing all the online teaching to their students. Then they have three children at home who they're having to homeschool with all the other teachers sending stuff in. And I thought, wow, that has got to be quite the challenge. It's got to be a lot of work in the course of a day. I know my daughter, she has five little boys who are in school, and their teachers are all sending stuff to the house for her to homeschool five boys. Plus, she has a little girl who's only like 2 years old, and so she's balancing teaching five boys at home and taking care of basically a baby. Every time I talk to her, I think to myself, it's incredible. In fact, we offered to let her send a couple boys over. We homeschool at our house. But she didn't take us up on that. She's worried about her mom getting COVID-19. But I'm telling you that to say, you know what? Life can be very hard. It can be hard during this time, or it can be hard outside of this time. And Christ is saying to us, listen, put on me, put on you and I, the tool of the principles and teachings in Christ in our lives, so that when we face the difficulties, the struggles, we can tap into the Holy Spirit who brings to our remembrance and helps us to remember the principles of the Holy Spirit. You and I are learning to be patient, kind, loving, tolerant, forgiving. All those things that the Holy Spirit works and does in us as our Lord works in and through us. These principles make life easier. When we look into the scriptures concerning this, we understand that he wants to transfer our burdens to his yoke. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, he talks to us about our whole person, our whole spiritual person. It renews when we allow God to change our mind, our principles, our perspective, and we become somebody who is Christ-centered instead of self-centered. He helps us to put on a yoke that's easier, Because the carnal man is full of conflict and difficulty and struggle. He wants us to learn that Christ will walk through this time with us. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So whether we're reaching in and asking Christ, "Give me the gift of rest," or whether we're putting on that yoke that we might bear the burdens of life, that we might bear them lighter in the rest of Christ, we do that as a spiritual man. Because even as that text in Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, the flesh, the carnal man, it's a heavy burden. We need the light burden that the yoke of Christ helps us to bear. The third of these places, these principles, these articles of rest that God offers us is in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 down through 11, we find the third of these rests. It's not the gift of rest. It's not the tool of rest, that yoke. But instead, it is a place of rest. You see, he offers to us eternal rest, a heavenly home, a place where we can draw near to him after death and experience that rest that only he can give. Listen as I read to you Hebrews chapter 9 down through 11. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." He's referencing the fact that when we receive Christ as our Savior, you and I lay aside all those works, all those deeds that people do to try to earn heaven. And he says, instead, what we do is we rest and trust in him that we might have that place of eternal rest, our own heavenly home. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, he wants us to understand heaven is not a place we can work and earn, but it is a place that we, by faith, receive, and that he has offered to us as a place of rest. One of the unique things about our generation living in this time is many, many people really expect earth to be their heaven. They want heaven on earth. The difficulty with looking for heaven on earth is that it's not here. It's why you hear stories about the rich and the famous who have everything you and I could ever imagine. They have so much money that they can buy whatever they want, wherever they want, whenever they want. In fact, I had just seen on the news that Nancy Pelosi, I didn't see this, but they were showing this clip of where she was in her kitchen and she was showing off some things in her kitchen and talking about or referenced or showed pints of ice cream. And those pints, just for one of those little pints, is $25 a pint. Now, Sandra Jo looked at me and said to me, "Sandra, Tim, let's get ice cream. I am not thinking $25 a pint." You see, there's folks in the world, they have so much money that for them, the concept of going and buying Hood's ice cream is completely foreign. They're wanting $25 a pint ice cream. In fact, to them, they're thinking Ben and Jerry's. Oh my goodness, I can't eat Ben and Jerry's. I need the best, the most expensive, the elites. And that's all around the world. There are people who truly, they have so much money They really are looking for utopia. But it doesn't make them happy. Some of the most cantankerous and unhappy people that you see and hear about and meet are people who have gobs and gobs of money. Money can't buy you heaven on earth. Neither can relationships. You know, pastoring through all these years, it's surprising to me how many people really, they believe if they could just meet the right person, their whole life would be wonderful. All their problems would go away. It would be heaven on earth. The problem with that is, after a very short time, they find out that that person who they thought was an angel has a little bit of devil in him. And it's not quite the utopia they had thought it would be. There is no heaven on earth. You and I, every single one of us, struggle with the difficulties of every human being. That sin nature that pops up and creeps up in our life. Money can't buy it away. Relationships can't make it disappear. Careers can't evaporate that. But God offers to us, first of all, the gift of rest. He offers to us the tool to help us lighten our load in life and find rest. And then he offers to us a heavenly rest. One that we can't work, we can't buy, we can't somehow create. It is something that only can be found in faith in him. John chapter 14, verse 19 says, "Yea, a little while, and the world seeth me no more." That's what he told his apostles. "But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Christ told them, he said, "You know what? After the crucifixion, I will rise again, and I will ascend up into heaven. And there I'll be, he will be with the Lord forevermore, interceding for you and I." He is the one who said also to his apostles, "I go to prepare a place for you." In fact, listen to that text. In John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You see, he offers to us a place of eternal rest. He tells us that when we put our faith and trust in him, and we become a child of God, he has prepared for us a heavenly home. A marvelous and a wonderful and a beautiful place. In fact, this evening, tonight at 6 o'clock, our evening service, I'm going to take you there through the Word of God. I'm going to bring you to the descriptive texts of that heavenly rest that he has gone to prepare for us. So I want you to log back in tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to live stream, and we're going to look at heaven. But I want to read to you another little poem as we kind of wrap up the message this morning. "There is a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign. Eternal day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. There everlasting spring abides, and never withering flowers. Death, like a narrow sea, divides this land of rest from ours." You and I that have put our faith and trust in Christ, we have that heavenly place of rest prepared for us. If this morning you've not yet received Christ into your heart and into your life, you've not yet put your faith and trust in him, I want to challenge you this morning. Call upon him. Confess to him, "Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. And I do believe that you are the Savior." Ask him to come into your heart and into your life and to save your soul. Turn from your sins. Turn to salvation. in Christ today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, I thank you that you offer us rest. And we have so many families in the church who right now, because of this situation we're in due to COVID-19, they're struggling to find that rest, Lord. Maybe they're senior citizens and their health is not good. And they know that they are the most susceptible to this. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to find that gift of rest that only you can give. Help them to put on that tool of rest that they might be able to bear the load of concern lightly as you help them. And Lord, if there be one person this morning who's listening to this message, who has not yet turned from their sins and turned to you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. That they might have eternal rest, a heavenly home, which you have offered to all those who would trust in you. Lord, we pray for you to bring to our nation healing. We need to see rest come to a divided nation. We need your miraculous, powerful hand to be at work. We love you, Lord. We rest in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.